Hi everyone. I just want to give a little shout out that Business Barn Raising is now open for the year. This time around, we are really focusing on helping people who have been interested in incorporating hypnotherapy into their practice get started. And the most important things to get started really are focusing on your practice location, getting all the systems in place that you are going to need to provide services. Those are things like insurance and contracts. And finally, finding the clients that you need to run your practice. And in Business Barn Raising, we cover all of these areas, both in lesson content format as well as supported coaching calls. So if you think this is something that might be helpful to you, be sure to reach out and get signed up. We will be starting in June. So this week we're talking about continuing education, and if you listen in, you'll hear that Ryan is clearly the star of the show, and we are still working out our co-hosting audio, but I hope you can listen in. Welcome to Animals and Aquatics. I'm Gina.
And I'm Ryan.
And tonight we're going to share a little bit about our continuing education journey.
If you've listened to us before, you know that we are an OT couple, and so we can use just about any excuse to justify our ever-growing continuing education budget, from new things we want to explore or things that we are already familiar with but want to expand our base of knowledge. Continuing education is a really important part of expanding your horizons and really just getting outside of your comfort zone.
If you've listened to the podcast 2 episodes ago, you also heard episode on conferences. And this month in March has just been a really big month for conferences, with the American Hypnotherapy Association Conference and the American Occupational Therapy Association Conference. And that's a big part of our continuing education budget for this year as well. Now, it hasn't been every year, but certainly for this year, both the opportunity to network with others and to get some really new information about what's been going on both in the world of hypnotherapy and in the OT world, that has really been a big building block for us. And now that we've gone through the conferences, we'll be taking that information and really building it into our business going forward this year. And I think to share a little bit about our continuing education journey, it's important to start with some of the things that we've really enjoyed and maybe some of the things that we've really struggled with continuing education.
Yeah, so I consume a lot of podcast-style learning, audible learning. So I'd say that a lot of my continuing education is done on the fly through occupationaltherapy.com. And that's a great resource if I want to look and see if there's anything OT-based that is speaking about a specific diagnosis or a particular type of setting, or if there's just something going on in the field that I want to learn a bit more about.
All right, shameless plug and disclosure. I have been paid by occupationaltherapy.com for a few of the workshops that I've done for them. So I've done one on hypnotherapy, one on horses and mental health, and one on Shinrin Yoku, and I definitely agree with Ryan. I love occupationaltherapy.com because it allows me to explore new areas of practice or new topics without the additional financial expense going to maybe a specific continuing education course for like that topic. And so I look at it like almost like a Chinese food buffet, and I pay one price and I can go and pick and have a little bit of whatever I want. So I really like that I can take a seating and mobility workshop that I would never ever go to if I had to pay for that individually, because I don't see that many clients. It's not that relevant to the types of clients that I see now, but I think it's interesting and I think it supports me overall as a clinician. So I would say the same thing for OT.com. I love the variety, I would say, of topics offered.
Yeah, and I think one of the other great things about it is that you don't have to get too heavily time invested either. We've taken some continuing ed that took like an entire weekend to get through or to get most of the way through. Some that we haven't finished yet, but I think we'll get to that.
It is a goal.
But the great thing about OT.com is you can invest 45 minutes an hour, get some CEUs, and either reinforce what you already know and what you're already doing, or maybe even give some language to things that you're already doing, but you don't really, like for me, early as a newer clinician, having language for explaining the why of what I'm doing is really helpful. I think that sometimes we take things for granted and we don't really think about, you know, the why of things sometimes. And so even if it's something that we are already familiar with or have already incorporated, it doesn't really hurt to reinforce the knowledge base that we have.
Yeah, and that made me think of the NBC OT Navigator. So if you have your C or you have your R, you can do continuing education on the NBC OT platform. And they're definitely not as quick or efficient as an OT course, but the SIMU cases are actually very good, and they remind me of the SIMU cases that my students have to take. So I like doing some of them because not only are they more in-depth and they give you some clinical reasoning feedback, but it also allows me to step into the shoes of some of my OTA students that are doing SIMU cases, so I'm a little bit more familiar with the style and the format, and I can give them some guidance when they come up with a challenge with that, with a SIMU case. So I do like that, and the NBC OT Navigator also allows us to track continuing education hours. It has some relatively quick quizzes that you can take as well, so that's another good resource. If you have your C or your R and you're getting ready to track hours, you can go in and log some hours there as well. And Ryan alluded to some of our heavier, denser continuing education forays that we've really struggled with, and it's high on our list to finish because A, we invested in it, B, we think that there will be some marketing return on it, and I think probably what our biggest challenge with that was is that we enjoyed a lot of the content. So I think there's 20 hours altogether. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we're about 15 or more in. We're pretty close.
Yeah.
And
I think we have maybe three learning blocks left.
Yeah. So we hit a couple that didn't really resonate with us, and you're going to get that when you're listening to a variety of different speakers on one topic, and it just really bogged us down, and it took a little bit of the motivation, I think, out of doing it. So we have to get back on the horse.
Yeah, there were some things in there that were really, really interesting, and we're like, wow, I like that. But then there's other things that just, like you said, didn't resonate or contradicted.
Are not part of our
philosophy. Yeah, so.
So being able to just take that in, acknowledge it's not part of our treatment philosophy, move on, and finish it, I think is important because, like, we're midway through it, I don't know, once every few weeks, but hey, we should really finish that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those, it was really nice because we were taking it together, and so we were playing it each on our device, but then we could chit-chat about what we were seeing, what we thought, if we needed, like, we could stop and have a discussion about it.
So one of us would mute their
one of us would mute the device, we'd watch it on the other device together, because we each had to be logged in since we're both getting the continuing education for it, and we then have the opportunity to discuss what we thought about it, or if it, which that probably also made it take longer,
mm-hmm.
because we would have spin-off, be like, hold on, like, you have to stop, but like, we're having these, like, spin-off conversations, and I think that can lead into a little bit about certifications and continuing education, because I think as therapists, we love to collect certifications. Like, and I do tell that to my students. I'm like, your best bang for your buck is to get a certification rather than another degree. It's so much more applicable. It's so much more useful. But with a lot of certifications, they have their own continuing education requirements. So it becomes this machine that you're sort of caught in. So you have like your state. Most states have continuing education requirements for licensure. Our state does not. But we maintain our continuing education for our MBCOT. So we're doing them anyway. If we move to another state, like it's not going to be a big deal. But then as a hippotherapy clinical specialist, I have continuing education requirements there. Like each certification you have continuing education to maintain the certification. And for quite a long while, I was certified as an infant massage instructor. And that was one of the certifications that I've actually lapsed the continuing education requirement on, because although using the infant massage techniques is really helpful, I wasn't teaching classes, I wasn't teaching parent groups on infant massage, and it just, again, it was like another sort of niche side area that I would have to take, like, massage continuing education classes, and just didn't do it.
Yeah. So I guess we should we get into the, or did we cover everything with the bigger block? Like we talked about the smaller block trainings, like the one-offs, which are great. And there's some really interesting bigger block ones. And there's, like you said, the letters after your name and all that. There's also some other programs that I would really like to explore. I'd really like to get into therapeutic listening. And I'd really like to get a certification in that, especially given the settings that we work in. I think that it would be applicable. I guess the only thing that we're trying to navigate is the juice worth the squeeze, and they do tend to be a sizable monetary commitment on an annual basis for that. And so we're trying to figure out really what would be the best way to go forward with that. So that's another area that we're exploring for this year, potentially.
We have enough clients throughout the year to justify the subscription cost, like the training, totally doable, but the subscription cost for the program is that area. It's not like you own the music anymore. It's not like you own the audio anymore. You have to subscribe every year. And that's our concern right now is, are we going to have enough families that are either interested in paying extra, or would we just incorporate it in to our base pricing? And so, again, something that's a little bit more in-depth, it would be another in our toolbox that we would be excited to bring in. And I think that's one of the things about continuing education, right? It can open doors to bring in new tools, new treatment strategies, new things to offer to families that you're working with. And then it's just figuring out either how you're going to fund it, or is the return on investment going to be really good for that?
The other thing that I can't help but think of, and I don't want to go too far off topic here, but continuing education or certifications outside of the therapy world. So, for example, I'm a Red Cross certified lifeguard, and I feel that maintaining that is a pretty important backstopping as far as working in an aquatic environment. That's kind of a bare minimum, but there's other certifications out there. There's water safety instructor. There are the Red Cross used to have an adaptive swim certification, but they did away with that, is my understanding. But you know, there's some non-therapy specific. I mean, even if we want to talk about the basics, first aid CPR. You know that's a pretty. And if you're, you know, it's one thing if you're working somewhere, because if you're working for somebody else, then they're more than likely footing the bill every year for you to take the CPR course and maintain your certification. But you know, if you're the private practitioner, then you know, these are things you got to think about as additional safety measures for your clients. And I think putting that out there too, there's nothing wrong with putting that out there and letting the clients know that you're CPR certified, because that's going to give them an additional level of comfort with you that you'd be there in case anything were to happen or those skills were needed.
And I think that brings up a really interesting point, because you're talking about it in the aquatic setting. So if we talk about it in the equine setting, a lot of people will immediately ask, do they need to become a PATH riding instructor? And unless your intention is to go and teach horseback riding, then that's probably not the best avenue for you because it is very lengthy. The horsemanship requirement is significant. And if your intention is to incorporate horses into occupational therapy, then becoming a horseback riding instructor is really like a separate path. No pun intended on that. But you also do need to have a basic level of horsemanship skills to be safe in the equine environment. So a lot of times I think that comes into the non-formal continuing education. So things like mentoring, networking, coaching, volunteering, I think those all fall in that. Like, it is continuing education. And some of the coaching clients that I've worked with, we have set up a plan for them so that they can get NDCOT continuing education units by setting up a mentoring plan. So I think there are the things that are outside of AOTA approved continuing education provider status that also contribute greatly to your skills and competency, particularly when you are working in a niche area.
Well, I would say looking at the other area of practice that we work in is the nature-based, and so even some continuing ed in that department, I think that can be very handy if you're not really an outdoors type. Some basic plant identifications, safety measures for the natural environment. If you're on a 2-mile hike and something goes wrong, you know, what do you do, and what are the types of resources that would be available to help? Nowadays, with cell phones and that's not as much of a concern, I guess, but still, having a solid safety plan in place is pretty important. And really what that's about is identifying skill gaps is, I think, the best way to look at that is to look at, all right, what skills am I lacking to meet the demands of whatever potential scenario you could likely find yourself in. But then there's other things I think that you could, you know, work to get smarter on, orienteering, or, you know, basically, I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you're working in one of these outside of the box niche settings like we work in, looking around and kind of seeing what you could use, not just in therapeutic training, but also outside of that, what could be helpful, and not being afraid to expand your knowledge base in those areas as well.
Yeah, I like that idea of a skills gap, because it can be clinical skills, it can be practical skills, or it could be safety skills, and in any of those areas there are continuing education opportunities to fill those. Again, not everything falls under that AOTA approved provider of continuing education, but if you are going to work in a niche area, if you're going to be successful, well, that brings me up another area that we didn't talk about is like business.
I didn't want to cut you off, but I was going to say business.
Business, yeah. Right? So I guess that's why our joke is like the continuing.
We can go way down the rabbit hole.
You know, we both enjoy learning and learning new skills and learning new things. Mm-hmm. And so I think on that, you can also get caught up in learning and not doing. Like, learning can be the band-aid instead of doing the hard thing too.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, well, I just need to do this, like, one more certification. I just need to take this one more.
Once I get these letters at the end of my name, then I'll be, you know,
then I'll do the thing.
Well, that's it. And, like, you're going to learn so much more by doing. And I think you're going to make mistakes. That's kind of inevitable. But I think if you have some core values that you can hold on to in your practice and in your treatment methodology, your approach, if you can hold on to those things and you understand why they're your core values, then the mistakes that you make won't really matter all that much.
Yeah, I think once you've identified the safety skills, the practical skills, and you're covered in there, because continuing education and being in the therapy world is a lifelong learning process, you know, there's always going to be an area that we're going to focus on or want to improve on. If you are working in private practice for yourself, the business skills are never ending in mm-hmm. what we can learn and grow, and business certainly is changing in what opportunities we have available to us. So we have all these things at our disposal, and it's amazing that we can connect with people like all around the world, really, and tap into their expertise. And sometimes we can do it for free on social media. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's through, you know, amazing paid coaching programs. And other times it's through that networking that we do at conferences and face-to-face in our communities. But there's a lot of opportunities for continuing education out there. I guess I would just say, don't let it stop you from doing the thing. Don't let it stop you from actually moving forward with what it is you want to do.
Yeah, I think if you have a vision and of what it is that you're supposed to be doing and you go after that, it is really easy to let that fear take hold and think, well, I need X, Y, or Z. And it could be more training. It could be the perfect setting. It could be, you know, I think we can come up with any number of excuses not to get that forward movement happening. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, we hold ourselves back a lot.
So I think as we come to wrapping up today, talking about continuing education, we covered different formats of courses, from really short buffet style learning to really deep dives where you're going to come away with a certification after it. And Ryan brought up the skills gap area and how you can look to fill in skills gap areas, whether those are practical skills, safety skills, or therapeutic skills. And then we kind of stumbled into the learning paralysis and getting tripped up on all the opportunities that are out there to learn and grow, and letting that stop us from going out and actually serving the people that we're meant to serve.
Well, we hope this gave you some insight into the way that we look at continuing ed and the way that we approach it. And maybe ask some of those questions of yourself and take a look at the way that you've been approaching it. And as always, if you appreciated listening to this podcast, you can like, share, and subscribe, and we would appreciate it.